Good evening, folks. It's good to be back with you again once more here in Achillea. Nevertheless, the whole thing's a bit different than what we've been used to this last while. But it's a joy that our churches are open again once more and we're able to meet together as God's people. And we're turning tonight for a scripture reading to Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah, in the chapter 33. Jeremiah 33, and we're commencing to read at the verse 1. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time, while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it, to establish it, the Lord is his name. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. For thus saith the Lord, God of Israel, concerning the houses of this city, and concerning the houses of the kings of Judah, which are thrown down by the mounts and by the sword. They come to fight with the Chaldeans, but it is to fill them with the dead bodies of men, whom I have slain in mine anger and in my fury, and for all whose wickedness I have hid my face from this city. Behold, I will bring it health and cure, and I will cure them, and I will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. And I will cause captivity of Judah and the captivity of Israel to return, and will build them as at the first. And I will cleanse them from all their iniquity, whereby they have sinned against me. And I will pardon all their iniquities, whereby they have sinned, and whereby they have transgressed against me. And it shall be to me a name of joy, a praise and an honour before all the nations of the earth, which shall hear all the good that I do unto them. They shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and for all the prosperity that I procure unto it. And we'll end our reading there, knowing the Lord will add his blessing even upon the public reading of his precious word tonight. Let's just commit our time together to the Lord in prayer tonight. Let's still our hearts, even as we come to meet together on this, our weekly prayer meeting. Our gracious God and our loving Father, we come before thee on this another evening. And Father, how we praise thee and thank thee, Lord, for the great privilege that is ours to come before the thrice holy God. We thank thee, Lord, that thou art God and beside thee there is none else. We come tonight to wait upon the true and the living God. Oh, Father, we are not wasting our time tonight as we meet together in thy house. But, Father, we rejoice that we have an audience with thee. And, Father, we praise thee for the great access that we have even into thy presence, in and through the merit of the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we praise thee, Lord, for the work of redemption. We thank thee, Lord, afresh for the precious shed blood of our Saviour. We thank thee, Lord, that he went to the cross on Calvary for sinners such as us. And Father, we rejoice tonight that we are born again, not with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of our Saviour. And Father, therefore, we come tonight with confidence, with boldness, even into thy presence tonight. O Lord, not because of anything good in us, but in and through the person and the work of our Saviour. O Father, we come at the outset tonight and we confess our sins afresh before thee. We rejoice that the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And Lord, we pray tonight, even as we have rubbed shoulders with the things of the world, that Lord, even tonight, that you will cleanse us afresh, even in thy precious blood. O Lord, you prepare our hearts even now to receive thy precious word. O give us a word in season. O Lord, thou knowest our needs, each one. Father, thou knowest even the things that we have been dealing with perhaps in this past week. And Lord, how that we need to hear afresh from thee. O Lord, we thank thee even for the privilege that is ours to meet with thee in the private place, to sit around thy feet, Lord, even in private, to go into our closet and shut the door. But Lord, how thankful we are tonight, even for the open door here, for the collective place of prayer, for this opportunity we have even to come together in our meeting house. O Lord, things aren't just what we have been used to in times past, but Father, how we are so thankful for the privilege that is ours to be here. We think tonight of those across the world even that don't have this privilege, that are not able to meet together in freedom and don't have the freedom of civil and religious liberties such as we enjoy. And Lord, tonight they are persecuted for their faith. They even have to meet together in secret because of the risk that there is to their very life. O Lord, help us to really lay hold of thee tonight, to give thanks even for the small things, or those things rather that we so often are found taken for granted. O Lord, come and do our hearts good tonight. We are mindful even of thy servant in this corner of thy vineyard here. We pray you'll bless him, even in this time of holiday, this time of leave. We pray you'll even encourage him, even refresh him, and even revitalize him, Lord, for the coming days, even to come back again to the winter's work here in Ackerley. We thank thee for each and every family represented tonight. We praise thee for them. We thank thee, Lord, even for the love they have for the Lord's work that they're found even tonight in the place of prayer to wait on thee. And Father, we surely our heart's desire is tonight that each and every one of us would know household salvation. Father, we think tonight of family members that perhaps once attended this house of worship or other places, and yet tonight they're far from thee. They have no time for the things of God. They have no time for the gospel message. Perhaps they know the verses. They have learned passages of scripture verbatim in past days in Sunday school. But yet they have never come to the true and living real knowledge, personal knowledge of the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for such tonight. We pray you'll even awaken hardened hearts tonight. Loved ones, Lord, that have turned their back on thee and even perhaps have become harder in recent days. Oh Lord, we pray you'll soften them. Do a work of grace in their hearts, we pray of thee. We think even of this surrounding district here. We thank thee, Lord, even for the labours of thy servant, even online, even during this pandemic. We pray, Lord, they'll even be fruit for these labours. And Lord, even as the church buildings open up again once more, as the boys and girls work commence again, their Sunday school and children's meetings and so on and so forth, our youth meetings, Lord, as these things all open up again and commence in thy will, that Father, there'll even be others will come in under the sound of thy word. O Lord, come and revive our hearts, we pray of thee, Lord. O Father, how easy it is to become cold, how easy it is to become despondent, even in these days in which we live. Revive our hearts, we pray. And Lord, we know if there's to be any revival at all in this land, that it starts in the hearts of thine own people. So Lord, to this end, revive us each one, we pray. O Lord, we're not unmindful of our missionaries tonight across the world. We thank thee, Lord, for the work in Uganda and Kenya, Lord, and in other places, in Spain, Nepal, Lord, thou knowest each one, thou knowest the need of thy labourers in those places. And Father, we lift them up lovingly before thee, each one tonight. We pray, Lord, you'll even encourage them and bless them, Lord, even as they seek to serve thee and work their way through, even perhaps with even more stringent limitations that have been placed upon them, even than what we are experiencing here in Northern Ireland. Lord, we're not unmindful even tonight of our retired men, those that have been even labouring in the Free Church from its inception. And Lord, we thank thee for them. We thank thee, Lord, even for the blessing that they have been to the student body, even in the college. And Lord, even as we go out and about, and we pray, Lord, you'll bless such men tonight. You'll even encourage them and even give them fruit even for their labours, even as they go about even doing preaching meetings, even, Father, special meetings, and as they get opportunity. O Lord, even grant them fruit in old age, we pray of thee. We thank thee, Lord, for this denomination, Lord, as we acknowledge we're not perfect, but Father, we praise thee and we thank thee, Lord, for the day in which you raised it up, this separated witness unto thee. And Father, help us, Lord, each one then to go forward with thee, to be faithful unto thee and the teaching of thy precious word. Help us, Lord, to continue on to be a gospel preaching church. Help us, Lord, even give us vision, give us wisdom, Lord, even in these days with all the restrictions that have been placed upon us. Even, Lord, to help those that are in authority and in the oversight, Lord, give them wisdom in knowing what to do and when to do it, and to keep each and every family safe that's connected with the work here. Lord, we think of those even today that have trouble with physical health, trouble with mental health, but Lord, help us each one too to look to our spiritual health. Help us, Lord, to keep our eyes fixed upon thee in these days. Help us, Lord, to look to the Master. Help us to be found reading thy word, meditating upon it. Oh, Lord, may there be a growing of grace even in these days, even in our denomination as a whole. Oh, Lord, come and bless us. And Lord, may there be a great moving again once more in amongst the free church. And Lord, may there be, even through this pandemic and through all the online efforts there has been right across this land, oh Lord, how encouraged we have been by many that have listened in, that have been invited even to come along to gospel services, to gospel meetings. They never would darken the door, but yet in the comfort of their own home, in the quietness and in the stillness, they have listened online to gospel messages as they have been proclaimed faithfully. And Father, we pray you'll even work in hearts. Oh Lord, come and stir up this land once more. Oh Lord, we see sin abounding in every hand and darkness all around us, but we rejoice that thou art still on the throne. And Father, thou still hast a work to do even in this place. Surely thou still hast a people to call on to thyself even in this land of ours. So help us, Lord, to be faithful, to go on, to go through with God, and to go the extra mile, be the second mile Christians. Help us, Lord, to be found looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We think of those in the congregation, perhaps, that would love to be here tonight, but are unwell at this time. Encourage them, we pray. Bless them in their own soul. Even bring words of Scripture to their remembrance tonight and encourage them. Bring people across their paths, even to encourage them in this time, even that we're so unfamiliar with. But Lord, we pray now as we come to even minister thy precious word. Lord, attend to it with the power of thy Holy Spirit. Lord, we're conscious of our nothingness before thee, our weakness. O Lord, we realize without thee we can do nothing. So therefore, Lord, we commit ourselves into thy hands tonight. And Lord, we cry that Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Lord, hide me far behind the cross and let none be seen tonight save Jesus and Jesus only. Amen. Amen. I want to turn your attention again to this chapter 33 of Jeremiah, which we have just read together. Perhaps some of you are more familiar than others of the account relayed by Dr. Helen Rosevere of that night in Central Africa when that premature baby was born and its mother did not survive, leaving behind that little newborn and as well as a two-year-old daughter. In those times there was no electricity, there was no incubator, there was no special feeding facilities, no special care baby unit. And despite the fact that the equator is well known for its warm temperatures, the nights can become very cold and drafty. And this can be detrimental, therefore, then, for the premature babies. Sadly, the nurse sought to fill the hot water bottle, the only hot water bottle which they had. And Dr. Helen Rosevere watched as she filled, and there it burst. They were so disappointed. She instructed our nurse then to stay as close as possible to the baby, bring it up close to the fire. Keep it as warm as you can. It was the doctor's custom to go and pray with all their children in the orphanage day by day. And she went over that afternoon to pray as normal. And there she was met with a little 10-year-old girl, little Ruth. And she listened intently as Dr. Rosevere prayed that afternoon. And she prayed there. And as Dr. Rosevere spoke of this little newborn and her sister. The doctor recalls Ruth's prayer, and she said it was with usual blunt consciousness of the African children, and it caught her totally off guard. This little girl, Ruth, this little 10-year-old, prayed like this. She said, "Please, God, send us a hot water bottle. It'll do no good tomorrow. The baby will be dead. So please send it this very afternoon. And while you're about it, would you please send a doll for the little girl also, to let her know that you really love her." And the reality was, men and women tonight and young people, that in order for this little girl's prayer to be answered, that someone would have had to send this package from the homeland out to Africa. But yet the whole 4 years that Dr. Rosevere had been ministering there and working amongst the people in Africa, she never had received anything, not one package from home. And who would ever think of sending a hot water bottle there to the equator? Yet in the middle of the afternoon, Dr. Rosevere received the message to come home that a package had arrived. And there it was, and she called the children around as she opened it, and all these little eyes as they looked in as they opened up this package, and out there came knitted jerseys and bandages and all sorts of things, boxes of raisins, sultanas, some other medical equipment. But it also included that brand new rubber hot water bottle. Oh, the doctor may not have prayed for it. She may not even have believed that God could have answered little Ruth's prayer. But yet that little girl believed. Crying out, she said, "If God has sent the bottle, he must have also sent the doll also." And sure enough, there at the bottom of the box, the little doll was found. And 5 months before, that little 10-year-old African girl had prayed for a hot water bottle and a doll. The doctor, Helen Rosevere's former Sunday school class, had packaged these things up under the guidance of the Lord and had sent these things out to Africa. Dr. Helen Rosevere speaks of that occasion, saying that 5 months earlier, in answer to the believing prayer of a 10-year-old to bring it that very afternoon. And you know, in Isaiah 65, in the verse 24, we read these words, "And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear." And with this story in our minds tonight, men and women, I would like to center your thoughts upon this well-known verse that we have just read here in Jeremiah 33 and the verse 3. "Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Look with me tonight for a time at the challenge to prayer. The challenge to prayer. Consider first of all with me the simple plea. It's a simple plea. Call unto me. You see, here we see the appeal to Jeremiah in verse 2. You see, God here invited Jeremiah's prayer, which appeals to him to fulfill the aspects of his promises which he guarantees to keep. Turn back with me, if you would, for a moment to Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29, in the verses 11 through to 14. "For I know the thoughts I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord. And I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive." And you see, men and women tonight, God fulfills his plans here on earth in answer to our prayers. You see, some people take the approach, well, what's the point in even praying at all? And this is why even tonight in this land, there's churches across the land, gospel, claim to be gospel preaching churches, claim to have a ministry, but yet they don't even hold a prayer meeting. They say, what's the point in praying? If God's going to work all things out anyway, after according to his own will, well, I'll tell you why, friends. Because God fulfills his plan here in us, on earth, in answer to our prayers. It is noted for us in chapter 32 that as a sign of the coming restoration of the land, Jeremiah is led of the Lord to purchase a portion of land from one of his relatives. And upon seeing the condition of the city surrounded by the Chaldeans, Jeremiah's faith seems to fail concerning the promise of restoration. And therefore, in his perplexity or his confusion, he goes before the Lord in Jeremiah in the previous chapter here in chapter 32, in the latter part of it. And Jeremiah is assured that nothing is too hard for the Lord, who is able to pardon and purge Israel's iniquity and restore them to their land. Jeremiah 32 and the verse 38. The first part of Jeremiah then, 33, that we have read together, focuses on the restoration of the people. And despite the scene of destruction in the face of Babylon's siege, God promised that one day it would change. Then Jeremiah 33 verses 6 through to 13 present for us multiple images of a restored people. You see, the devastated nation, it would be healed. And central to those promises, however, was God's declaration that he would deal with the underlying problem of sin in his people. There in the verse 8 of Jeremiah 33, "And I will cleanse them from all their iniquity, whereby they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquities." And men and women tonight, surely this is still the need of the hour, even in our land tonight. Surely God's people need a fresh cleansing of the sin within their heart. You see, without cleansing from sin, there can be no true restoration. All of this proclaimed the Lord would bring joy and praise and honour before all nations of the earth. In verse 9, God too receives the glory and joy at his people's restoration. Surely even as Jeremiah needed reminding to cry unto God, so do we. The appeal from the Lord goes forth to every Christian this evening. No matter how young we are, no matter how old we are, this simple plea is extended to every child of wrath today. Those that are not saved, that one who lingers in their sin, Christ extends also this gracious invitation unto them. Call unto me, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And surely tonight, men and women and young people, that's our heart's desire. That's our heart's desire, that even in the midst of the time of instability and uncertainty in which we are living, that those of our family, those of our loved ones, those of our friends, those that we come in contact with, perhaps those that we work with, they're much on our heart that this will be the time that they will come to Christ. That surely through this happenings that's going on all around us, that the Lord will speak to their heart, that they'll come to Christ. You know, surely our heart's desire is that they'll call upon the Lord for mercy. But tell me, believer, tonight, is there a need for restoration in your life? In your life personally? We talk about others that need to be saved, and they do. They're much in our heart. But has sin crept into your life? Is there something in your life that's hindering the blessing of the Lord? You know, just as the Lord called to Jeremiah, or appealed to Jeremiah to call on to him to intervene, so too does he bid you and me to come today. But as we dwell upon this simple plea, note also the accessibility to God. You see, Jeremiah was in the prison. As we read together there in the opening verse, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time when he was yet shut up in the court of the prison. You see, he was in the prison, yet he was still in the presence of the Lord. The Lord still communed with him. And surely it is better to be in the prison house with the Lord than to be in the palace without them, without him. And is it not true that we don't see the Lord Jesus Christ is all that we need? We don't see that the Lord Jesus Christ is all that we need in life and in death and in eternity until the Lord Jesus Christ is all that we have. And you know, I expect perhaps you, like me, can look back to times in your life, often referred to as valley experiences or a difficult time when you've been brought low, perhaps even to your wit's end. You can testify of that time of the nearness of the Lord, of his closeness in that experience that you were going through, of his presence, oh how real it was to you. His promises to you were almost audible. And yet tonight there's that longing within your soul to experience that communion again once more with your Saviour. Matthew Henry, commenting on this portion, says this: no confinement can deprive God's people of his presence. No locks nor bars can shut up or shut out his gracious visits. Oftentimes their afflictions abound, their consolations much more abound. And you know, friends, oftentimes it is in the darkest of hours that the Lord Jesus Christ, his presence, is more intensely realized in our lives. I expect there are many of you here tonight that have had reason to try and get in contact with someone in a senior capacity, within a company, within a school organization, within a university perhaps, a supervisor, a principal. Yet you have found it so hard to get to speak to the person whom you want to make contact with. Oh, you know that there's someone there in a place of authority, and if you could just get speaking to them, they'd be fit to deal with your query, or they'd be fit to deal with whatever it is that's troubling you. You know they have the ability to do it, and you know that they're there and they're in the building or they're in the vicinity. But yet it's so impossible, and for one reason or another you can't get speaking to them. Oh, you've lifted the phone or you've called over, but you can't get speaking to them. One reason or another, they're inaccessible to you. Who, even here this evening, has got a direct line for the Queen of England. Oh, she may be our monarch, but right now, she is inaccessible to you and me. And it is therefore that no surprise that this verse is often referred to reverently even as our direct line to the Saviour. You see, friends, he bids us to call upon him. Call upon me, he says, and he guarantees then I will answer thee. And in addition here we see also the ability that we have as believers. You see, what a blessing we have as children of God tonight to approach the thrice holy God. Not because of what we are or what we have achieved or what we have done, but rather through his perfect finished work of redemption. The great work of the atonement. With the knowledge that, and the assurance that we can approach him with this knowledge and assurance that he plans to bless us. He has promised as we as his children that he will hear us when we pray. He has bidden us therefore to call upon me and I will answer thee. You see the accessibility to Christ. Oh yes, all these other people in this world tonight, in authority and everything else that we need to speak to or want to contact or we want to get through to, they're inaccessible to us, but yet the Lord Jesus Christ, he's accessible to us at all times through the person and the work of our Saviour, through the precious shed blood of the Lamb. If we but only come by faith and ask of him, we can be sure of a blessing. However, is it not always the case that the simpler something is, that the more often it is overlooked? Oh, there's the simple plea, but consider also with me the sure promise. The sure promise, I will answer thee. You see, we see the personality and the promise, the nature of God. You see, he doesn't lie. He doesn't lie. How many times can we think in our own experience of someone who said they would do something, or they promised to do something, or they promised that they would be somewhere, or they would always be there, or they would, but they never came through. They fell short of what they said they would do. They never followed up on that what they said they would do. But yet, here tonight in our text we read this sure promise of the Lord: I will answer thee. As we think of the personality in this promise, does it not draw our minds to the Saviour there as he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane? There as he prayed to his Father. Oh, the agony was great. As he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. There we see the Saviour pictured as he agonises in prayer. And you know, oftentimes, men and women and young people, we can be great organisers. And it's good to be organised. I remember going to college, and one of our lecturers, he was coming near retirement. We had a whiteboard behind us, and he started off and he wrote down these list of P's, and he says, "Perfect planning prevents pathetic performance." And I never forgot it. He's right, and he's still right. And it's good to be organised. But you know, men and women, we can be great organisers, but very, very poor agonisers. And tell me tonight, when was it the last time you agonised in prayer? We're talking here earlier of loved ones not saved. We're talking of the situation we find ourselves in, even in churches so far removed from what we're used to, even with hymn singing. And all of these things paused. Are we agonising in prayer over it? Are we coming before the Lord? Oh, we're organising this, that, and changing, and rightly so. But are we found agonising? Some wayward son or daughter, are we agonising in prayer over it? Over the condition that they're in? A brother, a sister? Do we really understand, men and women, the privilege that we have in prayer? Young people, do you understand the privilege you have in prayer? Perhaps you're anxious at this time. Change over with school, universities, and so on and so forth. And that's so understandable. But you know, you have a wonderful privilege. You have a wonderful audience with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's accessible to you, even young person, tonight. When we consider this sure promise, we see also the certainty of the promise. It is, I will answer thee. You see, the answer may come in many ways. It may be direct. Paul speaks of the thorn in the flesh in 2 Corinthians 12:8. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You see, the Lord often gives sustaining grace amidst difficulty, rather than remove it from us. And so doing, we see then his many attributes that we so often take for granted. The Lord had a greater plan for Joni Erickson. Oh, whenever you read her book, it's interesting how that it's even recorded there that after becoming a paraplegic, someone said to her, well, you think if you had more faith that the Lord would have healed you. But yet, that wasn't the Lord's will for her life. But rather, he has used her and blessed her, even amidst her disabilities. And oftentimes, you know, friends, our answer to prayer, God's answer to prayer, rather, is direct. And it provides, rather than releasing us from the trial or the difficulty, he provides the grace to overcome. It may also be delayed. You know, the answer, if the answer is delayed, this causes us to wait. And what does the scripture say about those who wait? But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Oh, that delayed answer to our prayer should not cause us to give up or throw our head up in despair perhaps, but rather to continue to wait on him.
Perhaps you're praying for something and you feel that the answer has become very delayed. Perhaps it's a prayer you've been praying for 10 years, 15 years, 30 years. You think it's awful delayed at this stage.
Friend, tonight I encourage you to wait on the Lord, knowing that we will be strengthened amidst the delay. And in those times, we ought to take him at his word, knowing that he is working all things together for his good, for our good rather, and his glory. We ought to be still and to know, in his words, that I am God. The answer may be directed, may be delayed, it may be denied. We think of Elijah there in 1 Kings 19 and 4, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down there under the juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he may die. And he said, "It is enough now, O Lord." You know, did you ever look at those words, 1 Kings 19 and 4? "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life." That's what he prayed. Such a prayer. Can you think of it? It is enough. And you know, many, even believers, have got to that stage in life. The devil has discouraged them. They become discouraged in their walk with the Lord, and they got to that stage and they said, "It is enough. It's enough, Lord. I can't go any further." The Lord hadn't finished with Elijah here on earth, and he still has a plan and a purpose for his children here. Each and every one of us here this evening. We think too of the request of Salome, the mother of James and John, over in Matthew's Gospel 20 and 21. "Grant that these my two sons may sit one on thy right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom." But Jesus answered and said, "You know not what ye ask." And you know, sometimes we get it wrong in prayer, and we know not what we ask. But we think of a parent. And what parent gives a child a sharp knife to play with? Or something of danger? And perhaps you can look back with me this evening to times in your life and thank God that in his sovereignty and supreme power that he denied a request to your prayer, to something that you prayed for. And looking back, you see, it was an error. And regardless of what our reply may be tonight, friends, whatever the reply is that you have found yourself receiving from the Lord, just remember that you have a sure promise from him that faileth not, and it is this: "I will answer thee." There's a simple plea, the sure promise, but also, finally, the striking provision: "Call upon me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." You see, the great things and the mighty things referenced here, I speak of hidden. Perhaps if you have a marginal reference Bible, you have that in your margin before you tonight. It can be referred to as hidden things. The words are undoubtedly a quotation from Isaiah 48 and the verse 6. "Thou hast heard, see all this, and will ye not declare it? I have showed thee new things from this time, even hidden things, that thou didst not know them." You see, the great and mighty things referred to here tonight are things that we would never think to ask for. Things that we would never think to bring before the Lord, perhaps because of our lack of faith or various other reasons. But yet the Lord has the ability, friend, to even answer such things tonight. Do we really believe it? Do we really believe it? If you turn back with me for a moment here to Joshua chapter 10, if you would, or if you desire to do so, Joshua chapter 10 and the verses 12 to 14. This portion records for us Joshua's long day. Joshua chapter 10, verse 12. "Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day that the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Adullam. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and hasted not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like it. There was no day like that before it or after it. And the Lord hearkened unto the voice of man, for the Lord fought for Israel. You see, that day of divine intervention, Joshua defeated the great coalitions of the day in one single day. There was various explanations of what happened on that day. However, the important fact to note tonight is this, and we ought not to miss it, was that it was a supernatural, an extraordinary event that God performed on behalf of his people. Why did he do it? There we see Joshua in the 10 and the verse 14. The Lord hearkened unto the voice of man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Oh yes, it was inexplicable. It was miraculous. But is it not humbling tonight for us to realize that not only does the Lord hear us, but he fights for us? Genesis 18, when the Lord appeared to Abraham in the plains of Mamre and the promise was given to Sarah that she would bear that child, what did she do? She laughed. She didn't believe it. The challenge was laid out before them. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? You see, friends, tonight what he has said he will do, what he has promised, he will do. And this is not just mere history. God can still do this today, can still work out all things after the counsel of his own will. You know, is it any wonder that the psalmist gives the caution? In Psalm 118, verses 8 and 9, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Do you believe tonight in an all-powerful, all-knowing God who answers prayer? Then I exhort you, live in this prayer. And just as that little 10-year-old girl there in Africa had her prayer answered, so today, friends, can yours. I conclude with the words of exhortation of the late C.H. Spurgeon, try the Lord. Oh, don't take my word for any of this. Try the Lord. Prove him. See whether he be true or not. Because if God be true, you cannot seek mercy at his hands through the Lord Jesus Christ and get a negative reply. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Thank thee for listening. We trust the Lord, leave and bless that which was of himself tonight. We'll just get